Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified me by taking away my deer skin. This is proof that he is all-pervasive and all-powerful and that I am subordinate to him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Brahmananda Bharati herein asserts that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme Brahman and that he is the subordinate Brahman. I'll rephrase that. Herein asserts that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme Brahman and that he is the subordinate Brahman. This is confirmed in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanash Chaitananam. The supreme personality of Godhead is Brahman, or Param Brahman, the chief of all living entities. Both the supreme Brahman, or the personality of Godhead, and the living entities are persons, but the supreme Brahman is the predominator, whereas the living entities are predominated. Om Jnana Dimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksusun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gudave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Si Yuta Padakamalam Si Gudun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kaupatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vaishnave Pyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Bahu Vidadati Kamam. This is a very famous aphorism from the Vedas, which means that there is one eternal being and that he is Dadati. He's providing everything for all other eternal beings, of which there are an infinite number. And the Vedas also say Brahma Dviti. Do you know this? They say that there's only one thing. That's Brahma Dviti. You know that one? So, anyway, it means that actually there's only one thing. There's only one thing. That is Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna, just like an expansion of his energy, and is non-different from him. Just like the sunshine, the shine is non-different from the sun, but the sun is the source of that sunshine, and that sunshine pervades the entire creation. So in the same way, we are an infinite portion of the supreme Brahman. We have consciousness, individuality, and qualities. And our consciousness is all-pervading around our body. If someone comes and tickles the bottom sole of your feet, then you become conscious of that. So you're all-knowing of your whole body. Something happens, you know. So Krishna's body is the whole creation. So he knows everything that is going on in all the creation of the universe, in all the whole universe, because it's an expansion of his body. And also, there are millions of universes, and Krishna's, they're all parts and parcel of Krishna. So Krishna is all pervading. This is how the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedanta Sutra begins, Janmadyasya Yataha, that the root of all existence, what is the root of all existence? What is the Janma Adi of everything? So because there are 108 Upanishads glorifying the impersonal Brahman, we see that generally the tendency by mental speculation is to come to the conclusion of an impersonal Brahman. But actually, on deeper inspection, whenever the Vedas say Brahman, Brahman means the greatest. So this means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is the greatest. And the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness is it's completely logical. It's entirely logical from the breadth, depth, and height. At every moment, it is logical. Because in our experience, nothing comes from an in-person. You can say, oh, there's ghosts, they have consciousness. But they're also persons. There's no such thing as consciousness not being connected to individuality. And by this science, in science, whatever's in the effect must be in the cause. You understand that? Who studied science and who's good at science at school? If I say, oh, here is water, so water is made up of hydrogen, oxygen, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, right? H2, or the other way around. So the scientist in the laboratory, he gets some hydrogen, oxygen, and he makes water. the whole well, in this world we see intelligence, individuality, mind, feelings, emotions, activity. So by logical deduction, we can understand that all these things are actually existing in the cause of creation. It's illogical. Therefore, we see in the world a great deficit of understanding what is God and who is God. There's a lot of talk of love of God, a lot of talk of devotion and service to God, but no one knows who God is or what he is. So the Vedas, they want to, first of all, detach us from this idea of material enjoyment, because being individuals, like Krishna, we are individuals, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, we have the same tendency as Krishna. Bhayamiti dvinibeshita shat isharipatasya vipariyo smriti tanmayato buddha abhajet tam bhakcha kayesham guru deva tatma. This is a very, very important verse, that the living entity, since time immemorial, he's become forgetful of his real self. His real self is that he's servant of Krishna. But having forgotten Krishna, he's become competitor of Krishna, competing. Therefore, we see in the material world, everyone is competing with another. And so the mental enjoyment, because the actual sensual enjoyment with the sense objects and the senses doesn't involve the self, doesn't involve us. We are separate from this body, separate from the senses. So when we enjoy sense gratification, it's just a mental concoction. Someone is driving a big, nice car, but if someone comes along with a better car, then he becomes a little disappointed, actually. You know, you see sometimes people race each other, you know. This competition is there. So competition is due to the fact that everyone wants to be the supreme enjoyer. And therefore you'll find that the billionaires, they're all busy down in Monte Carlo selling their yachts because it only has one helicopter pad, and they want to buy a second yacht, which has two helicopter pads. So they're all very busy. Everyone's moving. No one's satisfied because their position as enjoyers of this world is an illusion. Om punam ada punam idam. So we're going back to the other verse, that we become competitors, and the solution is to worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master and receive instructions on our actual identity, who we are, so that when we can make spiritual practice and progress. So if we go a little further into this understanding of the logical idea that God is a person, it's actually impossible for him not to be a person. Because he has, because the world is full of consciousness, individuality, and variety, therefore all these things must be in God. Now, if God is eternal, how does it that he has a birthday? So can anyone say? Well, it takes a whole explanation. Janma karma chami devyam evam yoveti tadvata tvaktva deham puna. Janma karma divyam. Krishna's janma karma are transcendental. So Krishna is so wonderful that although he's eternal, in his lila is the idea, janmana braja, ever since you took your birth in this land of Vrindavan, the goddess of fortune has spread her opulence. It's full of wonder and beauty because of your having taken birth. So even in the eternal realm of Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan have this idea that Krishna took birth. And they have this idea, although Krishna is eternally a transcendental youth enjoying his eternal pastimes in Goloka, Vrindavan, it appears the same as the earthly Vrindavan, that Krishna has a birthday. And then they remember, you did this, you did that, because Krishna actually has these pastimes of youth and childhood in the earthly realm, but they are non-different from the spiritual realm. There's a kind of almost simultaneous identicalness. That's not a word. So you get the idea. So then because of this idea that Krishna goes to Mathura, kills Kamsa, and lifts Govardhan Hill, because of the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they forget that Krishna does these things, and therefore the pastimes are all eternally going on, and they've completely forgotten that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill sometime before, and then he does it again, and the whole lila is just going on. So this is the nature of the supreme individual, and by hearing his pastimes, in truth we can understand them, then we become attracted to Krishna, and that attraction to Krishna is the supreme form of yoga. Yogi nam api sarvesham. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the greatest yogi is one who meditates on me in affection. And the proof of this activity is when the gopis go to meet Krishna, he says, what are you doing here? You know, they've abandoned everything in the middle of the night, left their homes, and they come to meet Krishna. Krishna says, why have you come here? You should practice devotional service to me, hearing and chanting, remembering me. This is the best way to achieve me. So he's testing their devotion, making this kind of a joke. But they are so advanced, yogis, that they get to see Krishna physically in front of them. The yogis are trying to put Krishna's feet in their heart and meditating on those feet with unbroken determination. But the gopis actually physically get to massage those feet. Therefore, they are the greatest yogis of all. Krishna is worshipped by the Upanishads and the Vedas and all the demigods, but Mother Yashoda is just treating him like her own son. And that's the way Krishna likes it. Krishna's a supreme enjoyer. So he says early on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the hymns of the Vedas do not satisfy me. Therefore, what is his full satisfaction? You're a person. Do you think that the president or the king enjoys all the crowds waving flags as much as he enjoys just hanging out with his children and his family? So this is the nature of the person, is that he enjoys affection, spontaneous affection. You enjoy spontaneous affection more than reverential worship, right? You know, like everyone thinks it'd be great to be a guru, but after 10 years, everyone bowing down and worshiping you and being, it's like gets a bit boring or a bit stale. It's not really a great happiness. But the guru takes that position to receive that worship, and he then is constantly worshipping Krishna in his heart. So he's constantly remembering Krishna. When you bow down to him, he offers that obeisances to Krishna. So the pure devotee is always engaged in his unbroken meditation on Krishna, and he doesn't accept the worship for himself, but he passes it on to Krishna. And that's the guru tattva that Krishna likes, that you worship his devotee, because he loves his devotees. Just like Prabhupada says, when the ambassador goes to a country, then he's respected as much as the leader of that country. They had the coronation of the king in the 1920s something in India. The viceroy accepted the worship on behalf of the king. It was a huge ceremony in Delhi, and all the kings and leaders were there. So he wasn't even the king of England. He was the viceroy, but he was worshipped with all pomp and reverence, and the bands, and so much ceremony was there. This is the idea. When you worship the guru, Krishna is pleased, and the guru accepts that worship on behalf of Krishna. So Brahman Parama, Krishna's Arjuna says, 10, 11, 12, Param Brahma, Param Dharma. You're the supreme, greatest, you're the supreme abode, Param Dharma, Param Bhavam, Pavitram Iham, Pavitram, Param Bhavam, Param Dharma, Pavitram Divyam, Vibhum, I've forgotten it today. Unborn, transcendental, the greatest. You should know that verse. So whenever we see this Brahman, Brahmati, Paramatmi, Bhagavan, Iti, Subjate. So the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that we're told, or the devotees know what is Brahman, what is Paramatma. It's no big complication for the devotees. But the yogis are all hung up on the Paramatma. The Brahmavadis are all hung up on Brahman. So by mental speculation, you can understand the Brahman, the impersonal aspect of God. By yoga, you can understand the indwelling supersoul. And by bhakti, you can understand Bhagavan, the supreme person, all his variety and ananda. So what is lacking? In Brahman, there is eternity. Brahman realization, there is eternity. In Paramatma realization, there is knowledge of the Lord's all-pervading personal feature. And in Bhagavan realization, devotional service, all realization is there with ananda, with bliss. Because without variety, without relationship, without dancing and singing and taking prasadam, God is not fully enjoying. Krishna is not fully enjoying. So this is what bhakti means, to directly take to this process of devotional service. Mam hi partavya pashrita, yepi shu papayona. Anyone can do it. It's so easy. Padama karuna, ananda kanda. It's a very easy path. And by it, you become the greatest yogi. I'm not really firing on all cylinders this morning in terms of my brain's not working very well. So perhaps we could have some discussion, because I've forgotten things to say right now. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I was just trying to understand what you said earlier about the pastimes being simultaneous. So would it be that, have you ever seen CGI? So it's like they'll have a person with these little balls on, and then that goes into the film. So is Krishna like doing like an avatar kind of thing? So is he moving and then in the pastime is doing that? Or there's, because you said like it's mirrored. And I was just trying to understand how that, how that happens.
I know. Krishna's moving all over the universe, from one universe to another. His pastimes are eternally going on in the material world. But at the same time, he's in the spiritual world. Goloka Nivasachi Kilatma Bhutto. He's always in Goloka Vrindavan enjoying his pastimes, and simultaneously he's wandering from one universe to another. In each day of Brahma, he appears in each universe and performs the same pastimes. Because he's unlimitedly potent, he can be in... He's everywhere at once. Ekopya soda chayitam jagadanta kotim yachakti rasti jagadanta chaya yadantam antantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purasamtam. He's in every atom, but everything is within him simultaneously. So he's unlimitedly potent. So he's both places at once, or everywhere at once. There's no limit. His pastimes are happening here in Bhaktivedanta Mana, and in Jagannath Puri, and in Vrindavan, and ISKCON temples, and all over the universe. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Bhagavan Iti Sabjate.
Thank you. I can't even comprehend.
We cannot comprehend Krishna's potency. But just like the sun is one in one universe, and that sunshine reaches all over the universe, except in the dark portion of the universe because of the Loka mountains. That's another story. But the sun is before your eyes.
Yeah.
It's millions of miles away, but it's so powerful, and it's so all-pervasive. The light of the sun is so all-pervasive. And that's just a material object. And where does it get its potency from? Yasya Prabho Prabhavato Jagananda Koti. It's getting its potency from the Brahma Jyoti. And the Brahma Jyoti is just the effulgence of Krishna's toenails. This is the meaning of all-powerful, all-pervasive. Wow. We cannot understand. Abhigya Swarat. So if God is all-pervasive and maintaining the whole universe, then how can he be playing his flute under a tree in Vrindavan? Natasya karya karanam na vidyate. Everything is going on by his potency. Just like a wealthy man, they have this saying, follow the money. So if you want to find the criminal, you want to find who is the criminal, what is the motivation, you follow the money, or you follow who benefits from the crime. That's how they work. So Krishna is a supreme benefactor and the supreme enjoyer of benefit. So if you follow everything, you get to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What was the point I was making? So all his energies are acting. And he has nothing to do. He's so great and so powerful that he's free to enjoy all his own energies in their purest form, spiritual world. Yeah. And at the same time, when you pray to Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, then he's reciprocating with you. Himself. That's a Vedic injunction. Om apavitra pavitrava sarvavastam katopiva yasmarit pundarikaksham abhya abhyantara. By remembering the lotus-eyed Krishna, one is completely purified. So this remembrance of Krishna means the remembrance of Swayam Bhagavan, not Vishnu, not Narayan, not expansions, incarnations, but the original, Ekopyaso, the original one. So this is who Krishna is. He's the origin of everything. It's mind-blowing, right? Inconceivable. So one must accept achincha, the inconceivable potency of God, and the devotee has faith in that. Therefore, he feels secure and happy, because the most powerful, how much power does he have? Reciprocate with your devotion. Yeyatamam prapajante. As you surrender, Krishna reciprocates. Pajamyaham. As you worship me, I worship you. This is Krishna's loving nature. His loving nature, his compassion upon his devotees is the most important of his qualities, his compassion. Hare Krishna. Antaranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. From the verse itself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified me by taking away my deer skin.
And oh yeah,
I have a question: how we, as a practicing devotees, can learn this art of letting go things when Krishna is pulling them away from us? On many occasions, how we can basically break the spell of attachment, and just see when certain situations, and whichever degree it may be, from a gross material objects or from subtle things, or Krishna just desires some type of a purification for us, how we can see that this is Krishna's mercy, he's taking this away from me. Because we can see here that in the position of Brahmananda Bharati, he straight away immediately see that, oh, this was Lord Chaitanya's mercy on me. And he felt the mercy, he felt the benedictions, he straight away feel the bliss of letting go. We are not always so fortunate to feel the benefit of something being taken away from us. So how we as devotees can train ourselves to see that Krishna takes for a good reason?
Oh, I just have to believe in the philosophy, you know. That's what the philosophy is, that Krishna tells Yudhisthira, or Yudhisthira, who says, is it Yudhisthira who says the verse? That, or Krishna, that when I really favor my devotee, I take everything away. So if we're stubborn and we don't want to detach, we want to remain attached, then we become like Dhritarashtra. So he was at the fag end of his life, and Prabhupada says, okay, if you want to be a materialist and remain attached your whole life, at least last 5 years, 10 years, go into the forest, go into the ashram. But you won't make the same advancement as someone who's practiced all his life. So there are different perfections in the spiritual world. There's different levels. Even if you go to the spiritual world, there are different degrees of how close you'll be to Krishna. So Dhritarashtra, he attained one type of salvation because he dedicated some last portion of his life when he was old and decrepit. At least he went and meditated on the Lord at that last moment. So if you don't even want to do that, you want to ignore Krishna and just be keep your distance from Krishna for your whole life and not get close to him, then you have to take birth again, because unless you're attached to Krishna, you won't get liberated. Maya sakta mana pata. So you'll stay in the material world because you have to be attached. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmano kavaye vidu. That by nature the consciousness is attached. Because you're a person, you can't be without attachment. So someone is attached to their friends, a family, their pets, their land, their wealth. And someone is a little attached to Krishna, or say 50% attached to Krishna, 50% attached to the material world. So, but Krishna says you have to be completely attached to me. That's what he tells Arjuna, you have to utterly surrender to me. Utterly, he uses that word in the 18th chapter. And if you don't, you'll be lost. So what to do? We can move forward and give up our attachments, but only if we have a nice attachment to Krishna. So to answer your question in a short way, that if you increase your attachment to Krishna, which is the if you increase your attachment to Krishna, you increase your devotion to Krishna, mulas taro samula nisachanena, then he's the root. So only by Maya we are attached. So the whole process is to develop attachment to Krishna, affection for Krishna. One has this affection for Krishna, one becomes liberated from the material world. I was just reading that in the Krishna book here. Everybody okay? I'll just read this. Mm. So this is the simplicity of bhakti. It's about attachment and love for Krishna. Not that we can forcibly, like the yogis, what are they doing? They're trying to become detached. But they fail sometimes. Whereas the devotees who are pure and perfectly attached to Krishna, they never fail. Haridas Thakur, he surpassed all obstacles because he was a pure devotee. But even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they're sometimes falling down. Because they sometimes take the pastime of not being pure devotees. Yeah. What's that? Yatpada pankaja bilasa palasa bhaktya kamashayam gratitam ukritayanti shanta tadvadna riktayo yatayo pirudha chotro chanam srotram adanam bhaja vasudevam shotoganam. Shotoganam tam adanam vasude. So the hard knotted desires in the heart, the yogis cannot overcome them by their effort, despite their greatest efforts. But the devotees, they can, by their adanam, the worship of Krishna. This is the highest platform. When we're so in love with Krishna, we're so attached to Krishna, then all material attachments are gone. But if we physically or with our own effort try to do it, it's very, very difficult. Something, something. Yes, Prabhu.
You said, Prabhu, that we can get rid of attachments.
Say that again, sorry. We
you
can.
You just said, Prabhu, that we can get rid of attachments, of our attachments. So we can do it, or this is because we practice the bhakti yoga and that's Krishna's mercy taking away our attachments?
Yeah.
Or we can do it?
Ultimately, to become completely free, we need Krishna's mercy. And Krishna's mercy is there in the very beginning and the middle and the end. But Krishna testing us our whole life. So this test, Maya is testing. Because her service is to always keep us in the material world. So we can never think we're so advanced that we don't need to practice devotional service. We see that this testing helps us advance because we have to overcome our tests and surrender. We have no other choice. But if we don't surrender, then we don't get Krishna's mercy. So it's a whole lifetime of taking one step closer to Krishna and having tests, overcoming the tests, remaining a devotee. Sometimes it's so difficult, you think, I want to give up. It's so difficult to be a devotee. It's impossible to be a devotee. I'm just going to give up. The next day you get your bead bag and you start chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Because you can't stop. You cannot stop. It's artificial to stop. So that's why we need so much philosophy to convince us and then practice. Then we're convinced, yes, this is Krishna's God. He's in my heart. He's the goal of life. Then we have to overcome so many tests. And it's Krishna is so kind, he'll help us when we surrender. So when it's going good, everyone wants to be a devotee when it's going good. Ah, this is great, Hare Krishna. But when you're being tested, it's impossible. I can't chant, I'll never be a devotee, it's too difficult. So then you have to surrender. But it's hard, yeah? It's not easy. So Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada says, devotee is always praying for Krishna's mercy. Is that right? Yeah, so yeah, you need Krishna's mercy, but you need to practice. You need to practice. That's the answer, yeah. You need to practice. God helps those who helps themselves. So you can't just wait for mercy. You've got to get it. You've got to get it. But without the mercy, ultimately, it's Krishna's mercy how you go back to Godhead. You get prema. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for your interesting class. And the beginning bit, you were trying to figure out that mantra.
Yeah.
I found it on the Vani quotes. Ekam Eva Dvitiyam Brahma.
Thank you.
This is the Vedic version, Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. There is oneness because everything emanates from the Supreme Brahman.
Brilliant. So everything is one. Achincha Beda, Beda Tattva. Everything is Krishna. But within Krishna, there's unlimited varieties. Bahusham. Eko Bahusham. Krishna is Atmarama, right? He's self-satisfied. So why does he need us? Why did he create living entities? What's the answer? Panchatattva, what's the answer? Yes, that's the right answer. But more technically speaking, to increase his pleasure. He's already enjoying. He's Atmarama, he's fully self-satisfied, he's full of bliss. But to increase his pleasure, he creates Bahusha, many. And he wants to associate with many in millions of different ways. So he has millions of different expansions, incarnations, and he's enjoying. Unlimited enjoying. First verse of the second verse of the CC says that Krishna's enjoying through his incarnations, through the devotees, through the spiritual master. He's enjoying unlimitedly. He's enjoying our surrender, our difficulty, our struggles. He's enjoying our surrender. A little bit of bhakti can squeeze out of our stone-like hearts. Krishna likes it. See, this living entity is just suffering. Because om punam ada punam idam, he's complete. The universe is complete and the illusion is complete. You're 100% you're in illusion. You think you're important, your bank balance, your family, your land, your wealth, but it's all illusion. 100% illusion. So Prabhupada said, this life is like a hard block of dry wood. But somehow or other, you have to carve out Krishna from this life in your heart. This is our business. Nimai? Jesse.
Okay. I had a question.
Oh, you next then. Thank you for helping me with the questions.
Thank you.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned the point of happiness in Krishna consciousness and then distress, you know, these moods, they go up and down.
Yeah.
Do we also apply the principle of not being disturbed by happiness and distress in terms of this Krishna, in terms of spiritual practice, or how do we see that?
So when you are practicing very strongly, then distress and happiness are less of a botheration, up and downs. But when you're practicing weakly, then the distress becomes a really big thing and it can disturb your mind for weeks. And, you know, but then you just go to one kirtan and it's all gone in 1 second. So you have to just hold on tight and tolerate the difficult periods and wait for Krishna's mercy. But when you become more fixed up, then you'll see that distress is short-lived and mental and not the permanent feature of the consciousness. But this is quite difficult conceptually to understand, because we all suffer distress. But the distress of a devotee is not the same as a non-devotee, because the devotee has a great hope. Prabhupada said in one purport that even the transcendentalist sometimes feels the distress of this material world. But then he immediately remembers Krishna. And he remembers Krishna's smiling face. So he says the smiling face of Krishna is the greatest manifestation of Krishna's mercy on the devotee. So this intense remembrance of Krishna is what we're looking for. That's what we want. Bhaktiye Utpati, this brings out the heart, the love in the heart. Yasyam Vai Sruyamanayam. But it's only going to work if you're hearing about Krishna regularly. If you don't hear about Krishna, then what will you remember? You won't think of Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's been a while since I last connected with CC. I just wanted to know what was happening in this chapter.
Oh, yes.
And what the details were. I hear it's a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Brahmananda
Bhadati.
And Sarva
about that.
I think as a mediator, but what is the purpose of the conversation, where they're going with this?
It's a similar pastime to Sanatana Goswami's blanket that he had, a nice blanket. But this is a little different. This is a kind of an important point in Krishna consciousness, is that Brahmananda Bhadati had this deer skin, and it's a yogis and sannyasis, they use a deer skin for meditation, because apparently when you sit on the deer skin, it's either insects or tigers. Insects won't bother you, so you're free to meditate without getting mosquito bites and all this. You know, it's like you read in the Vedas, oh, you go to the forest. So we go to the Ganges and sit and chant. We get bitten by millions of mosquitoes trying to enjoy the sunset. And it's like, how do they do this, you know? So anyway, that's another point. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disapproved of the deer skin. He saw that Brahmananda Bharati had it as false prestige, that I'm a great yogi, have this deer skin. And it's not our line. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and they don't use these paraphernalia. So he understood that, and it proved to him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew his heart as the all-pervasive person. This reminds me of a pastime when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his potent his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the devotees came for 21 hours. They had kirtan and talks. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reminding each an individual devotee how he came into their lives and arranged things. It's quite amazing. For example, one devotee needed to cross the river and there was no boat, there was some emergency, and suddenly a boatman appeared in the middle of the night. And Lord Chaitanya said, I was that boatman. So Krishna's always helping us, but we don't know. Prayojan Prabhu.
Thank you. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's chapter 6, text 30. And I often quite quote this for different classes, different situations. And it says here in chapter 6, text 30, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. It's such a beautiful verse. You can gaze upon it, not realize it, but it's a reassuring verse for me.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to quote that verse when I was preparing for class. Your mam pashyati sarvatra. So yeah, that's great that you reminded me. Like, you have all these ideas what you're going to say, but, you know, they don't always come out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, wonderful. Thank you for... Oh, one more question there. Panchatapa Prabhu.
Thanks, Prabhu. You were speaking about these challenges, etc., we face.
Challenges, yeah.
And, of course, philosophy is important for being sort of convinced. But it feels it takes more than just being convinced to actually overcome some things. You need, like, enthusiasm. And does that come just from the philosophy, or where does that actually come from?
Utsahandischaryat. So, in the beginning, the devotional service itself is the cause of enthusiasm. I like chanting, I like kirtan, I like doing service, serving the deity, taking prasadam. You know, it's nice. But later on, the enthusiasm comes from Krishna, that you like Krishna and that you want to please him. So at various levels of enthusiasm or sources of enthusiasm may change. In the beginning, it's just like, can I make it to the next Sunday feast, you know? I won't leave. A lot of devotees were like that in the beginning days when the Sunday feast was super opulent. They will think, I want to leave, I can't handle this, but I'll wait till after the Sunday feast. And then another week would go, and they'd end up staying and becoming devotees. There's lots of stories. So I was like that. I left after 2 weeks when I joined. I came back the next day. I left in the afternoon. I came back the next morning because I went back to the material one. It was horrible. And I was like, it was so nice and clean. I was thinking of this Pujari area, and it was all so clean and nice. I thought, I can't stay in this place. I'm going to go. And I went back to the temple. With all the, and that was just the shiny cleanliness which attracted me. You know, that was my stimulus for enthusiasm to go back. That where I was staying was dirty and horrible and useless, and this was clean and nice and shiny. So that's a very, you know, so then your reason to stay and reason to be enthusiastic, you have to search that out. And like you say, philosophy is not really what's going to keep us here. Intellectual conviction is not really it's going to keep us, but it's a heartfelt attachment to Krishna is what's really going to keep us in the long run. Because in the end of the day, all there is Krishna. You know? The Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the residents of Vrindavan, they're not using philosophy to stay there or apply themselves. They're just in love with Krishna. So Krishna is impossible to leave. He's impossible. He's too amazing. He's too wonderful. So ultimately, we have to stay with Krishna. And he should be our source of inspiration and enthusiasm. I've got Krishna, I have nothing. I am useless. But I like you. So I'm going to stay. But you can use anything to keep alive. Somehow or other, stay alive in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Okay, Jai. Oh, Dave, come on.
What?
Finish it at 9. Yeah, we can have kirtan for 15 minutes.
Thank you, Boo. My question is about, you mentioned Krishna enjoying in the material world. So I was wondering about any super soul aspect. How does Krishna enjoy as a super soul?
I know. Krishna doesn't enjoy matter. He enjoys reciprocating with his devotees. So as a super soul, how does Krishna enjoy the material world? That's what you're asking. Yeah. Yeah, Krishna enjoys reciprocating with his devotees. He's neutral. He's like a bird sitting on a tree, providing the fruits of one's action, right? Anumanta, he's a permitter, the witness, and giver of karma. But he doesn't directly enjoy the material world. He suffers seeing that you're suffering. He doesn't like it, but he's trying to inspire you to do the right thing. I don't know that the Paramatma enjoys the material world as such, you know. Anybody have any comments on that? He's always in the spiritual existence. I mean, Krishna doesn't enjoy matter. But when you take that matter and offer it to him with devotion, then he enjoys. Like we built this temple, it's made of matter. but we're using it for Krishna. So this is the yoga, connection of matter to spirit. Where the deity is, this is called yoga pit, where spirit meets matter and they connect. This is the yoga pit, where the spiritual world meets the material world. Yoga pit. So the conversion yajna of matter into sacrifice, this is what is pleasing to Krishna. In the spiritual world, there is no need to do yajna or sacrifice. But in the material world, Krishna enjoys the yajna, the sacrifice. And what is the best sacrifice in Kali Yuga? Kali dosa nidheira jan, astyeko mahad gunad, kirtanat. Kirtanat. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu?
Can I tell you a very small story?
Yes, probably.
So this word charma, maybe Sachi Mata can confirm, but in Hindi and Brajabhasha, it's also translated as leather. So in Bengali, charma is leather as well?
It's not charma, it's charma.
Right. So this word, in Bhakti Ratnakar, there's a whole description on how the Radharaman deity is also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it seems like Mahaprabhu has a problem with deer skin or with charma. So I want to give you a recent story that happened. And you mentioned about the yachts and the billionaire, so I remember the story. So a few months ago, one very rich man came for darshan and in Vrindavan at the Radharaman temple. So he came for darshan, and the pujaris decided to ornament the deity with some new outfits. So he had come, and he was waiting for darshan. You know how things happen. So the pujaris were decorating the deity with the new outfit, and each time they were putting on the dhoti, it would snap. So then they quickly ran to bring the next day's outfit. They bought the outfit again. They tried to tie the dhoti on and the chadar, and the threads snapped. There was a whole panic going on. There's this VIP, you know, rich man waiting for darshan, and the deity is naked, so they can't have darshan. So the pujari, he had an inspiration. He came outside, and he looked in the crowd, and he noticed that this VIP was wearing a leather belt. So he said to him, clearly he doesn't want to see the leather belt. So if you want darshan, take off the belt. Now, unfortunately, the trouser was much more larger than the size of his waist. So poor guy had to hold his trousers together. They put the outfit on the deity. It fit, curtains open, and the deity saw him holding his waist and trousers together. So, so it looks like the word shodhan, in the same way that Mahaprabhu purified in this verse, similarly, he also purified this individual because he doesn't seem to like deer skin or items made of animal skin in the same way that this happened. So it shows that no matter how rich or important you are, you will be chastised by the Lord if you're doing things that he doesn't like in the same way that he didn't like the charma skin, the deer skin. A small story.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Jai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.